Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. It's a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. And we have our Roundtable panel this morning. Joining us today, political consultant Libby Post, editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, and our own Alan Shartok. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
All right. Feigned enthusiasm. You can email us by hitting roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org if you want to weigh in. You can also comment on our webpage. It's wamc.org, don't you know, /roundtable. And today's post is 5/20/15 panel. That's today's date, 5/20/15 panel. You can comment there. And while you're at the website, you know what you could do, of course, is drop a little something in the lockbox.
And oh, yeah.
The lockbox is going on now. And it's not really a real box.
It's
a metaphorical box.
It's a digital box?
It's a real box.
It's a real. You have a real lockbox?
Oh, absolutely.
You never showed it to me.
Well, I don't show you everything.
All right, fine. So there is a real lockbox.
You got it from Al Gore after the 2000 election.
I don't show you everything.
All right, fair enough.
I don't have to show you everything.
Well, we're at about 166 and a half. 166,400 and something.
Which is really very exciting because it's expanding exponentially. You see?
Where do we have to go?
The lockbox expands.
That's right. It's not metal.
No, the money in it. Oh.
It's latex, you know.
It's so clever of you to ask.
When does the fund drive start?
Great question, Judy, and thank you for leading the witness. When does the fund drive start?
Well, it starts on Monday. Not this coming Monday, but the following Monday, the 1st of June.
Okay, and you'll be on? Will I have to be there? Yes, I will. I'll be sitting across from you, won't I?
I think they're looking forward to it. You can see the look in their eyes
just
now.
Just like that. No, Alan is looking forward to it. Mine is sheer terror, as usual. So,
mine is sheer terror, too.
So the thing is,
terracotta.
The great thing about this lockbox is you kick in now, it all counts at the very beginning of the fund drive. And we've shortened it down at one of the last couple of drives was 3.5-4 days.
Last drive. 3.5 days. We never thought we'd see it. People were walking up to me in the streets, hugging me, crying.
What's the longest fund drive you've ever had?
Is it 14 days.
Oh, yeah, they've gone on.
And I know we've done them 10 and 11 in my memory, just occasionally. And it gets to be rather...
it's bad.
It's a little tiresome.
Yeah, you don't want to go
it's
there.
It's really bad.
And those who say, I wish you'd get back to regular programming. This is a great way to get back to our regular, if somewhat irregular,
and
programming.
Then guess what? You look that person up in the membership base.
Yes.
Not there. Not always there.
Just complaining.
And then just
they're
complainer.
In the complaint department.
And you know how the
database.
You know how you can tell the lockbox was a good idea? Others have copied it.
Oh boy, we're seeing it all over the place. I mean, it's really insulting because
it's not insulting. It's an honor.
Plagiarism is the highest form of flattery.
I find it insulting. I think instead of their saying things like "We've come up with this wonderful idea," what they would say would be something like, "Thanks to the wonderful folks at WAMC,
oh, really?
Who we are imitating now, we're going to do this thing." See what I mean?
Yeah, you should have licensed it.
Trademark.
You have to ask that on the
contact the legal department.
Copyright forum.
That's right. Paul Rapp would know the answer to that.
Yeah, he would.
You know what? You can't make any money on
you
this.
You know what? He wouldn't. You know what? He might know the answer to it, but it would not be an answer we'd want to hear.
Well, and also, we would have to pay him. That's
a
billable
hour. Paul.
Yeah, just ask him.
No, Paul's very
he's a lawyer. Come on, lawyers, you know them. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. And we begin the discussion of news today with some sad news. Happy Rockefeller passed away at her home in Tarrytown. She was 88 years old.
Big stuff. She was a trooper, no question
about it. Not a New York State trooper.
Right. She was a trendsetter in a way because, it was like Kramer versus Kramer. Remember that film, Kramer versus Kramer?
Yes.
She had to give up four children in order
that.
To... She had to be, give up four
that.
Children to be with Nelson.
Okay, well, let's...
She had two on her own.
With him.
With him. And of course, the unspoken in all of this, in all the obits and everything, is how it all ended up with him. So
yes, you mean
wasn't really
how
mentioned.
He died.
I mean, one can do unto others what one.
Yes,
know, that kind
and
of
he did because he died in bed with someone other than his wife.
Okay, now you said, Alan, that she had to give up her four children to,
that's correct.
To be with Nelson Rockefeller. Yeah. Of course, she didn't. She could have stayed with her first husband.
That's right.
And that is the crux of sort of the political backstory of when she joined Nelson Rockefeller and how that may have torpedoed any presidential hopes.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. He was leading in all the polls against Goldwater, way ahead. And when this thing struck, he went down in the polls. Goldwater wins the nomination, and that's how it happened. It did affect his fortune. Remember, at that point, no divorced person had ever been president of the United States.
I mean,
and
just,
it was the number one thing, other than the hole in his shoe, that they held against Adlai Stevenson.
Oh, that's right. He was divorced, and
he
got the Democratic nomination,
but he couldn't win.
He couldn't win.
Imagine how the mores have changed so much.
Yeah.
Since then, 1960, 63, I guess it was 63 when I was five. But, now people would just laugh at this. Are you kidding?
You're so right about mores. I was thinking about pizza.
That's amore.
That's amore.
That's amore. Hey, when the moon hits your eye. But Prescott S. Bush,
father of the elder Bush and grandfather of the younger Bush.
So you saw there was a quote of the New York Times.
He thought it was despicable.
Yes. Have we come to the point where a governor can desert his wife and children and persuade a young woman to abandon her four children and her husband?
Are you trying to sound like FDR?
Have we? And
that's a patrician voice.
Yes.
No. Have we come to the point where one of the two great parties will confer its greatest honor on such a one? I venture to hope not.
Oh, well, just look at who we got running now, so it's okay.
Well, interesting, and again, divorce is a personal matter. You do what you do, and you follow your own path, and you deal with your own set of morals and your Lord, if you have one. But interestingly, one of the most conservative presidents of our time was the first divorced guy to be president.
But he got
Ronald
divorced
Reagan.
A long time ago, and Jane Wyman was a pinko commie. So
he was married to Jane Wyman?
Oh, yeah.
Where have you been? Yes.
Well, and I don't know that
she... Before his time.
You had quotes around Pinko.
Oh, yes, I did have quotes around...
Remember that Ronald Reagan himself...
He was the head of the union.
He was the head of the...
Screen Actors Guild.
Screen Actors Guild.
And he was a Democrat as well, was he not?
Yes, he was.
Back in the day?
Yes, he was. And then...
Back in the Democrats were
American. I think he got hired by GE to do GE Theater or something like that.
I love that.
And things changed.
Yeah.
You know, we laugh about this and we say, oh, we don't really deal with this anymore. And people can be divorced and still run for office. But when you have candidates who do run as family people, you get that. We still get that.
Oh, sure.
And that's why this issue comes up. I think it's reflecting society in large part. And it certainly doesn't happen with the degree it happened a generation ago. I think everybody, any kid who's in their 20s or 30s should read this obituary today so they get some sense of what was happening back then, which was kind of
it's historical. But now look, you're a married lady, so I want to ask you a question. Are you insulted by people who leave their families and in a contemporary sense?
Leave their families, like decide to get
divorced. She did.
For love. Let's just say for love.
You know what I was sad about this whole story was this was her obituary. You know, or this was her role in life. I'm sure she was a smart lady.
She was his confidential secretary, and that's where it all started.
Like today, if she was born today, what else would she have done with her life?
She'd be running for governor.
Well, I was not yet born, but reading this great piece in the New York Times, it seemed like she carried herself. It must have been a great controversy, but on the campaign trail, it seemed like she carried herself with great grace. And of course, Alan, you're much older than I, and you'd be able to comment on this.
I am much older than you are, probably twice as old as you are.
So she really handled this well, right? And she was pregnant at the time.
Oh, yeah, no, and she went out on the campaign trail as a pregnant woman. You know, you have to remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the Rockefellers.
Yeah, the patricians.
We're talking about, they owned America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did. So there's, and I kept thinking about this. Well, you know, he was a great governor. He was a great governor. He did all kinds of terrific stuff. Mike Bloomberg wasn't historical money. He made it himself, but he was a great mayor. And sometimes people in this country, with the money ethic we have, can do more progressive stuff than other people can.
So you're supporting Trump then?
No, I'm not, and
okay.
You would have to put a gun in my ear to do that.
Coming up on the Roundtable, we'll put a gun in Alan's ear. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Jenkintown Motors, New Paltz, offering foreign and domestic auto repair by Scott Cullen and a team of technicians specializing in Japanese models, JenkinstownMotors.com. Shawangunk Wine Trail, new for 2015, the Hudson Valley Wine Tasting Passport to 14 wineries with mountain views and wine tastings, gunkswine.com for information. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. And Woodstock, New Paltz, Arts and Crafts Fair, Ulster County Fairgrounds, New Paltz. Handcrafted, juried artisans and craftspeople from across America this weekend. QuailHollow.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable. We've broken up into discussion groups here in Studio A. The time is 22 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe. Joe, very excited today. It's a David Letterman's retirement, and we'll have quite a bit about that coming up in the program.
Wait, he gets to go to the retirement?
I don't think so, but
I know he's friends with him.
He's very big friends.
Donahue is Zelig, and if anybody will show up there, it'll be Donahue, and he'll somehow have been in the studio for the final show. That's my, if I were a betting man, and I might be. So anyway, we're just having a discussion.
Which is why you're here in an undershirt.
In the studio here about Rockefeller. And I went on a little, as I'm wont to do in the breaks, go on a little tirade. And I said, well, Rockefeller, and you guys all said how great he was. But I said, he sinned mightily by destroying Albany's, by burying literally Albany's Dutch history under 787 and the South Mall. It lies beneath tons and tons of concrete and steel, and I would say that he destroyed the Albany waterfront and many great things about our great city.
Well, now you said it. However, so the story goes, Judy, you probably know more about this than I, but the story goes, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands comes to visit. And she basically says, what a dump. And that did it. That's why we got the South Mall.
That is apparently the story. And I was telling Ray just a few minutes ago, Rockefeller was kind of a big hero in our household because my father was an iron worker. And he spent many years down there building that South Mall. The question always is, was there supposed to be a North Mall?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, in Cohoes.
Yeah, what I find interesting is when you go up to the observation deck, In the health building, all the way up.
Corning Tower?
The Corning Tower. You can only see out of three sides. You can't see uptown. So you can't see the other big plot of concrete, SUNY Albany, or the University of Albany, uptown. So it's
design?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Is this
but
a
I just
conspiracy?
Thought it's really interesting. No, Ray, it's not. I just thought that was always an interesting thing, that you couldn't see the other big.
I never thought of that.
Edifice uptown. From there.
And they always said of Nelson, and you've all heard it, so I'll say it one more time, that he had an edifice complex.
Yes, he certainly did.
Well, one thing's for sure, the Egg is nice. I've enjoyed the Egg. It's a fine place to see shows.
I have gone, but it's very hard to get into
You were
it.
There when I was there, when John Pizzarelli
yeah,
played.
Yeah, no, you have to really figure out how to get in there.
You go to P3, visitor parking, you take the elevators up, you're right there.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, fine.
All right, so you want to move on. You got any letters there, Chief?
Well, we got one from Tom,
yeah,
who said, I consider myself a liberal progressive, but would probably vote for Nelson Rockefeller for any office.
Yeah.
Well, what he said.
He is what we call, he was the epitome of what we call Rockefeller Republicans, what we all pine for. From the Republican Party,
not necessarily everyone.
No, but he was fiscally conservative. No, people on my side. Fiscally conservative to a degree, progressive socially.
Isn't that what Cuomo is?
And had a vision. I mean, without him, SUNY would not be. He really made public higher education a priority for the state, which is a wonderful thing. That's how I got my education.
Yeah.
That's how many of us got our education.
Right. And then I think he probably would be turning a little bit to see
what's happened
how
to
expensive it is to go
That's
there.
That's right.
Now. Because the whole idea when I went to Hunter for free, or when you went to the state university, either for free in the beginning, or then if you were a teacher, or then for more, that has become something in the past. And by the way, Ray, we got one more letter.
Oh, terrific. Is it good?
No, and I never read letters that are wrong. I mean, really wrong.
Why?
Vitriolic. Okay.
Because I don't like
was
it.
Not
I don't
a
like
nice,
to.
Was
I don't
it mean?
Like, what'd you say?
Was it mean?
No, it was wrong. It was just wrong. The facts were wrong.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. I see.
You know what? Just getting back to
thank
Rockefeller
for, bringing it up, then.
For a yeah, minute and sure, his role in SUNY, you know, is the larger manifestation of Andrew Carnegie's role with establishing public libraries throughout the country. You know, he put his own money into it. Rockefeller put our money into it, but still it was all about educating the public, making access to information a priority, and giving the people the ability to bootstrap.
Okay. And the email, again, is roundtable@wamc.org. I'm not sure what gesture...
No. Did you really want me to read it?
Do you really? Yes. Would you?
Well,
Alan,
I don't really like it. Didn't WAMC copy WMHT methodology for getting small donors to contribute a certain amount in a specified time, which then triggers a large contribution from some, quote, unnamed source? They were doing it long before you. Exactly, Nick. That's why you're wrong. The fact of the matter is...
Oh, boy. Here we go.
WAMC has never, ever said, our members will put some money up if you can find some other money. That means they're using their own money to get... Come on now, folks. There's always going to be here a name, and I'm going to put my hand on a Bible and tell you nobody has ever put up a challenge. We have never made up a challenge
okay,
in our lives.
And I think that's
making
the key.
Up a challenge.
So, so when Alan says Mr. Big has put up, I don't know how much Mr. Yeah. Big put up this
well,
time.
Well, last this
10,
time it's $10,000.
Okay,
last
and the thing is, he's a real person.
Oh, he certainly
he
is.
He does not want his name mentioned, no. And his name is not Big. But he is...
certainly he's not Big.
He, you know, he's a real person, doesn't want his name read. So what do you do? But he exists.
This is philanthropy, folks, and this is how organizations raise money. You know, you have the ability to go on the air. You have the infrastructure to do that. Why not use every avenue available to you?
No, but it has to be honest.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But you have challenge grants like Mr. Big and I think it's NBT or...
I don't know.
Run of the Banks.
I should
First
know.
First Niagara.
Yeah. You know, this is the way it's done. You know, and that's the only way you can stay on the air.
I take some exception to that.
Oh,
Libby,
here we go.
Because
why?
I think the way that it's done is you do it honestly. We started with nothing here. People put money up. People came up. I remember when Mayor Corning came in, put $800 on the table. And that was in 1981, or 1979, I'm sorry.
It's a lot of money. And we're almost out of time for the half hour.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, keep going.
And we match that money. This, we're not like everybody. We're not like them. All of them.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was fast. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. We're joined today by Libby Post, Judy Patrick, and Alan Chartok. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Oh, stand by. There's more riveting stuff ahead after the news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:33 on a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Libby Post is here. Judy Patrick, Alan Chartok, and you at roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. And Alan, if I'm not mistaken, we have more email.
We do. We have some pushback on Nelson Rockefeller.
Okay.
The first is, have any of you from Dennis read the power structure analysis Thy Will Be Done about Nelson Rockefeller's exploits in South America and the resulting genocide? Maybe you should, before you extol his virtues anymore. And then Lydia says, Rockefeller drug laws, these were and are a travesty, destroying the lives of women and their families, women jailed for small amounts of possession, not sales, torn away from babies, left to fend for themselves, and to repeat the cycle. And then Tom has come back for a second time. But Tom, you know the rules. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
How close was he to gaining the nomination before the happy
close.
Thing
He was
came
very
down?
Close.
Yeah?
He was very close. He was leading in all the polls. And the Times makes that point, you know, in the obit.
And he very quickly tanked after?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, almost immediately
that's
the
amazing.
Polls reversed.
Yeah, it was a different time.
Yeah.
It was such a different time.
Yeah.
It was madman time. Madman time.
Yeah.
It
really I never was. Saw it.
Well, look, we have gay people being allowed to marry. Can you imagine that?
Right.
You know,
back
in
1950s. In 1965, right. We were arrested. I mean, there were horror stories here. But in 1965, it was the first march at the White House. There were like a handful of people, less than a dozen. You know, on gay rights. Life has changed dramatically since then, and our view of of social rights and wrongs have changed dramatically, and I think we will have a divorcee as a president.
Well, we did.
Oh, we already did, we but did. I think we will continue to have. But, you know, when you have some of these guys standing up for family values, and then they're caught with their prostitutes or their girlfriends in the mountains of wherever he was, the guy from South Carolina.
Oh, he was going on a hike?
Yeah, the guy who was going on a hike, and he was in South America with his girlfriend. I'm like, come on, you know.
That's a hell of a hike.
Yeah.
Japanese airbag maker Takata. Doubling the number of airbags it's declaring defective. The chemical that inflates the airbags can explode with too much force, sending shrapnel flying, and they're responsible for 6 deaths and more than 100 injuries worldwide. Takata's decision to add more than 18 million airbags to existing recalls comes following pressure from U.S. safety regulators. 11 automakers in all use Takata airbags, including Honda and Toyota, and I believe Daimler and Nissan. The list is pretty huge. Has everybody checked their VIN numbers?
I've checked the year that my car was made, and I'm safe.
So Toyota?
For right now.
I have a Prius.
Toyota,
do we,
sure.
Do we know if I could die from shards?
You can get your VIN number, and there are links everywhere. You can go check that VIN number and find out if there's a recall. The problem with this recall is it's going to take years.
Yeah.
And so the question is, do you drive your car?
Yeah.
How many millions? 34 million in this recall. There have been 100 injuries and 6 deaths, which some statistician might say is within the realm of sort of just
walking across the street and getting hit by a bus.
Not even.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah, and there are reports this morning that not all the VIN numbers are even up there yet. So you may want to wait a few days before you even check just to make sure.
But then what do you do?
I know,
you get on a waiting line like you're trying to get giant season tickets and you have to wait until you're 78 years
old?
You
know, I could see Takata filing Chapter 11, or whatever, and going out of business and leaving everybody else high and dry, and some corporate exec will fly away to some island somewhere.
I'm gonna ask Ray to help.
I'll check your VIN for you.
My VIN.
Oh, okay.
And,
sure.
You know,
it's really tiny letters.
But it's
tiny,
interesting.
Would you have your driver do it?
Would you? Well, I wish I had one, but
I don't. Have a driver?
No.
No.
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay.
Never been.
Oh, you gotta have that. When you have the limo, you need to have the driver.
When you have a Prius.
Oh, it's a Prius.
You know,
that's so public radio.
It drives itself. He doesn't need a driver.
I'm a public radio executive. I have a Prius limo. I think that would be nice.
The other day I was taking, I was out in the garden, you know, I have this big sort of big wagon, and I was pushing out. I left the car back, and unfortunately I scraped the front of the car.
Ouch.
With the thing. I think it may be made out of aluminum, aluminum foil.
Yeah.
Because, boy, what a dent I made.
Well, the thing is, with the new cars, though,
like
Alan, the bumpers are actually metal. The outside is plastic so that they can soak you for hundreds or thousands of dollars, but the actual structural piece is underneath, and it's metal. I don't know why they put the plastic out front. Gone are the nice chrome bumpers.
Gone are the days.
Gone are the days.
When you would hold me
when the lady said please.
You know, not to jump ahead to another story, but there is we were going to talk about the story about in Oregon where people who drive Priuses might feel like they're being penalized by this proposal charge per mile.
Okay, that's in Oregon.
I'm sorry to
No, that's great.
Right?
No,
it's a very good
segue.
I don't get it. So explain that to me because I'm a little slow.
Thanks. I'll have a sip of coffee. Go ahead.
So in the state of Oregon, the proposal or the thing that they're actually going to experiment with is instead of raising the gasoline sales tax, they want to charge owners based on the number of miles they drive.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong.
Is it wrong?
Well,
I don't
of course
know.
It's wrong. Look, I'm a responsible citizen. I have to drive to Albany from Great Barrington. Now, somebody will write me a letter. Hold your letters. No, you don't. You could live somewhere else.
Yeah,
but I have
a
wife who, you know, is a Berkshire County person and who taught at MCLA for all those years. So there was extenuating circumstances. So I have to drive every day. So now if they charge you by the miles that you go.
1.5 cents.
I'm getting 50 miles to the gallon. 52 this morning coming here.
Well, the rationale.
So I deserve extra.
How are we going to pay for the roads and the bridges?
Okay, well,
that's the issue.
Well, the rationale for what Oregon is trying here is that gas tax receipts are down, down, down.
Because of people like Alan.
Right. And so they're saying, well, those who drive the all-electrics or the hybrids will try this instead because they're not buying as much gas. The people who still drive gas vehicles say, hold the phone here. That's double jeopardy. And so I suppose if you really wanted to make this work, And by the way, the Big Brother implications of this are insane because you need a GPS all the time. They ought to know exactly where you are.
Hang on.
Whoa, hold the phone.
An odometer.
Hold the phone. Let me finish. The problem is you are going to – the only way it works is if you will completely abolish the gas tax. Then you can do it. Go ahead. Charge by the mile. Otherwise, you're double dipping, and it's classic state government. We'll just get as much out of you as we can all the time.
Welcome to Right Wing Radio.
It's not Right Wing Radio. It's just realistic. Feet on the ground.
I know what's going on. New York, for example, is a place that more people come to than live here, right? So the idea is not to raise the taxes, but to... how do you say that? Screw the people.
Ouch.
By charging the out-of-staters for the gas that they're buying. Don't you see? As Festus would say, don't you see?
Libby. Libby is now
I'm sort of
finally
at
speechless.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. Gas tax is not something that you like your income tax, which everybody has to pay.
Right, okay, I get you.
So they don't want to raise the income tax.
Right.
So they say, okay. Fools coming through, we're going to grab their money, don't you see?
Yes, I do see that.
Okay.
But your point about the GPS was what, Libby?
ACLU in Oregon raised that issue around privacy, and they're not making, it's an odometer, so it's not a GPS.
Oh, it is. So it's a separate odometer they add to the vehicle?
Right. My thing is, how is the odometer, without GPS, how is the odometer going to know what kind of road you're traveling on? All of this is like sort of, you know, all of us have to be honest about this, you know. What kind of roads am I traveling on? Am I traveling on a state road right now or a county road?
And absolutely.
Then I'll get, you know, I mean, it's like the honor system. I'm going to Long Island today. 300 miles. Well, that's all right. 300 miles, a little bit more. I figured it out. I'd have to pay $4.50 for that trip because it's 1.5 cents a mile.
How much is the gas tax? The state gas tax levy in New York.
It's a lot per gallon. Yes.
So if you use 25 gallons, let's say, on your round trip to Long Island, assuming you have a nice
I get 32, 33.
Okay, then that's probably what? $40 in taxes?
It probably. I don't. You
so
know.
Maybe that and works tolls. Out. Maybe and that's
then,
a win-win.
And then I have to pay $10 to get over the old Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah, maybe we should just have all toll roads.
Yeah.
Go back to that system. But I can see some the tourist industry being very concerned about this because, I mean, if you're going to drive 300 miles to go to Niagara Falls, you're going to think twice about doing
that.
Well,
the other part of this is look, we want people to get away from fossil fuels because of air quality and all the rest of it and the environment. You know, what we really need to do is just recognize that we're having a change here and we all have to be responsible for it. And so, okay, raise my taxes $10 a year. What difference is it going to make? You raise everybody's taxes a little bit, it'll make up for it. I mean, you know, the problem is that when you say raise taxes, people have a coronary. I had a whole discussion with somebody yesterday about taxes and being shoved down their throats and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this is what makes a civil society. Mm-hmm. It's what keeps the bridges and the roads going. We 60 Minutes last week had this segment about how many bridges are in trouble in the United States, and not there's no money being put into infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a lot of money being raised. Where is it going?
Well, I don't know where it's going, but it's not going to where it should be going.
The New York State Thruway generates a lot of money every single day.
I know it's paying for the new New York new whatever Tappan Zee. I think it should be called the Pete Seeger Bridge, but that's what it's being used for.
Alan, you're against that idea, right?
Against what?
The Pete Seeger Bridge?
No, I think it should be. But I think that I've never been thinking that I think it's going to probably be called the Cuomo Bridge.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But one way or the other, but I
well,
do...
Well, Mario Cuomo Bridge?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be either that or the... But I think that the bridge over the Hudson, the walkway over the Hudson should be named for Pete.
Oh, that would be lovely.
That's what I think.
Okay.
And there was one point, by the way, when I had it done. Talked to everybody. Everybody was for it, and Pete sent in a message. He said, "Cut it out."
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't want it. What about the Alan Shartok walkway over the Hudson?
Come on, now that's you don't want.
I could get those wheels in motion.
Insult the discussion here. That would be first of all, that Pete is the natural person to have that bridge named for. It's a peace bridge. It's Pete and Toshi, or Pete would be great.
What about the Alan Shartok walkway under the Hudson?
You mean the tunnel?
Yeah.
Like the Lincoln Tunnel or the Holland
Tunnel?
You
can only
tunnel?
Hope.
The Roundtable, it continues. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Letterman, this is it. The end of an era. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Tulip, a new shop in Rhinebeck, a modern gallery with fresh-cut flowers, contemporary photography, designer gifts, and home decor, tuliprhinebeck.com. The Sweater Venture, East Greenbush, New York, providing seasonal, lightweight cottons, transition clothes, versatile scarves, and jewelry, working globally, offered locally, open daily, sweaterventure.com. And the Clearwater Festival, founded by Pete Seeger, June 20th and 21st at Croton Point Park in Westchester County. Acts include David Crosby, Bela Fleck, and more. Clearwaterfestival.org for tickets.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's a Wednesday morning. It's 9:47, and Ray Graff here in for Joe Donahue. We're joined today by Daily Gazette editor Judy Patrick, also Libby Post, and Alan Shartok, and you at home, Roundtable at WAMC.org. What's happening in the Gazette, Judy?
Hey, well, today the big story was the victory by Sawyer Fredericks, the Montgomery County kid who lived on a farm. He won The Voice. This NBC reality show really took off in this area because, you know, everybody took a lot of pride. He started out being 15 and now he's 16. He's really shy.
He got a car last night. He can't drive it. He doesn't have a license.
And out in Montgomery County, and even in the Capital District, it was big stuff because everyone was very, very proud. It's nice to see somebody do really well. And he has a wonderful voice. I'm no musician. I can't judge it very well, but I mean, I thought he did very well.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Wait. So what is this? So what is the show?
Oh, it's called The Voice.
Oh, the kids love that. My kids love that.
It's because you go to bed too early.
The Voice. It's on at like 8 o'clock.
I know, but he goes to bed.
Dancing with the Stars or something like
it's
that.
It's a talent show.
But it's one of the better shows like this. It eclipsed American Idol because, first of all, it's blind auditions. And then you have the people who are the ultimate judges, four other people in rock and country.
Yay.
They actually mentor these folks. They work with them.
And they bid on the chance to get them.
Yeah, they
them.
Can steal each
Sounds
other's.
Sounds too good to be true.
It's really, it's a much better way of doing it than Simon Cowell totally eviscerating somebody.
Right. Who's Simon Cowell?
He was on American Idol.
All right. Well, we'll talk about John Cameron Swayze,
really,
and then we'll be in
back.
Your wheelhouse.
Keeps on ticking.
Right. You need to get back in reality, Alan.
That's right. Gary Moore, and we'll be fine.
Cool cut.
So that's in the Daily Gazette today. Now, Letterman, you know, this panel is probably full of no Letterman fans. I don't know about you, Judy.
I'm a little bit of a Letterman fan.
You know, Libby, not so much.
Like you, early Letterman.
Yeah.
I just never watched it, because who can stay up that late?
I did. And so...
Well, you are amazing.
But I haven't watched him in years. I watched last night for the first time in a long time.
You and Joe Donahue, boy, I'll tell you, you two guys, you know, you're up at the crack of dawn and you're up in the middle of the night. I mean, what?
Last night, Bill Murray basically jumped out of a huge cake.
And then he ended up on Kenny O'Donnell's show on MSNBC.
Oh, really?
He walked in and he was wasted and he fell off a chair. It was
really pretty funny.
It was on the Today Show this
morning. Regis was on last night. They're not saying who will be on tonight's last program for
Julia
Letterman.
Julia Roberts. I betcha.
Okay. All right.
I was on the Ernie Kovacs show once.
Were you kidding me? Now, that was a genius.
I was on the Ernie Kovacs show. That's right. I was on with my mom. She was doing some program, and Ernie Kovacs, just like this thing you're talking about, saw the Shartok twins standing there, grabbed us, and put a sheet over each of our heads and said, look, I promise you no false camera work, ripped the sheet off one of us in our Boy Scout uniforms, and then put the sheet back and said, look, and put the are you following?
Yeah.
Put the second sheet up. The guy, he was in a meet, but it was only because, as in this case, we were standing around waiting to do the first show.
And that may be worth trying to track down because, you know, they have archives of old shows down
right.
there.
But they didn't kinescope everything, though. But it's possible. There are a lot of old Ernie Kovac shows out there, and he was a genius. And in many ways, Letterman was a genius, especially as Judy and I were saying
well,
off mic.
He still is,
in the
he's
early
still
days.
Alive.
But in the early days on NBC, it was something unlike. It felt a little like Steve Allen show early and maybe Jack Parr, but it was completely off the wall. And it was an intimate, snarky, funny, crazy show. He sort of got formulaic over the years.
Did he get screwed? Is that what happened? Because I'm having trouble following
this. It's the second time you've used that word today on the program.
Well, it's okay.
Let's keep it clean.
You take a little steel thing, and then you put it into the
right. With the
wall.
It's true. He really did want to replace Johnny Carson, and Jay got
the
job
instead. And they gave it to Jay Leno, right?
Yeah. But he went on to become formidable in his own. He was always behind Leno in the
ratings.
Yeah,
he didn't win.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the breadbasket didn't particularly like Letterman,
right?
And his sense of humor.
Right. But he was really something. And 32 years of programs, thousands and thousands of shows, and tonight's the last one. Donahue has a great bit, a whole segment of this program dedicated to talking to writers and musicians and people connected to the Letterman show, which you'll be hearing in the coming hours.
You mean our Joe Donahue?
Joe Donahue.
Not the other Donahue.
And Joe is down in New York, and I'll bet you $5 Joe gets into that final taping.
Oh, you know, you're probably right, because he is like Waldo. You know, he's there.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
All right, the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. I thought we'd have Megan Finnegan here. I don't know if she's waiting in the wings.
Well, we could do it. I mean, if she's here, then she'll come in. I know you did.
That she'd be here at 10 of.
Okay, I'll tell you what's in there right now.
Okay.
166,
832.00.
So in other words, 166,000, this thing has really taken off. So in the last couple of days, we've been making over $25,000 a day.
How much do you want in there before you start?
Oh, thank you, Judy. You're as always the great news lady. We need to get the first Niagara grant of $7,500 and Mr. Biggs $10,000.
So $17,000.
Yeah,
change.
We need $375,000.
$375,000.
So we have 100, and then we have how many days left? What?
10.
Not really. You go, okay, let's try
all
this together. Let's
week.
Do it all together. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And then
you start Monday, so 11 days.
Until 6 o'clock on Monday morning.
And okay. How much are you going to raise in total in the fund drive? Do you want
it's a million dollar fund drive?
Same million. But the last fund drive was amazing. I said to Rosa, I'll see you in 2 weeks as I left the house. And she said, no, it'll be over in no time at all. Here's Megan.
Did you get the memo?
Thank goodness.
Nobody called you?
I'm so busy upstairs.
Oh,
you
counting
know,
all the
these pledges coming in.
That's fantastic.
Oh, great. Yeah. This is Megan Finnegan, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we're up to 168 by my calculations.
Oh, boy.
Well, all right.
168.
It's a good morning.
Didn't you tell me that if you go to, you can go on your WAMC app, you can go and then you get on home to the homepage,
yep.
And then you scroll down and then it'll tell you exactly how much there is. But you told me the minute it comes in, it would be counted on here. And here it says 166, 832.
Well, we also get mail too.
That's
so
the thing.
We do.
Oh, mail.
Yeah.
Remember
that?
M-A-L-E.
Can you do this online?
Oh, yeah, you can do it online. WAMC.org. Yeah, I've been up there all day, actually, looking at pledges coming in online. We did quite well since yesterday.
Oh, it's a nice, secure site.
So do we make $25,000 the first day, something like that?
Yeah, we made $25,000 the day before last, and actually we made more than $25,000 today. So
now let's everybody remember that in a regular fund drive, we've been doing over $100,000 a day to get to the $1 million. So the $25,000 is good, but we could even do better if everybody, because don't be coming to talk to me about it and saying, why is a fund drive taking so late? And I'll turn around to you and I'll say, well, did you put anything into the lockbox?
Well, it's fun when you're looking at all the pledges that come in online because people make so many great comments.
Oh, yeah?
So many people love the lockbox and are talking about wanting to shorten the fund drive.
Yeah.
Wanting to keep everything going.
Now, what didn't know, Megan, and Alan has informed me, I said, well, this is a metaphorical box. And he said, no, there's a real lockbox.
Ray said earlier there was no such thing as the real lockbox.
There's a real lockbox.
I've seen it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, sure. It's there. Mm. It goes right into the
your nose box. Groweth.
And when we and when we go around to events, we bring the lockbox with us, don't we, Megan?
Well, we're starting to.
Is the lockbox in the Cayman Islands by any chance? Just wondered. All right, so hey, there's an incentive too, right?
Well, the water bottle, yep. A lot of people are getting the water bottle.
Can you tell us about the Vosser bottle?
Well, you know, it's getting hot, or it was getting hot until today, and the water bottle is out there to keep you hydrated. It's stainless steel. It's got a, you know.
It's really beautiful.
You have one here? WAMC logo on it. You can have your name on it. Anybody's name.
It's sort of like white. How would you describe this? White.
Yeah, it looks like a metal bottle you would keep uranium in.
No, but it's not metal. It is metal, but it's not. It looks
it's stainless steel.
No, it looks.
But it says could shiny. Be worse. What's that about?
No, okay. Oh, great, Judy.
We love you, Judy.
Judy, you have asked leading questions. You have been like the glue of this show.
Judy, now you know why the Schenectady Gazette, why the Independent Gazette is so brilliant.
We love because, Judy
because Judy keeps those reporters. She says knows
on
them,
on message. And here, so and you can put your own message on the front of this bottle.
You could put 15 Judy characters here. Is the limit, but you could put anything
you
want.
Like Judy. Loves.
But Ray has chosen to put could be worse.
No, that's not
mine. No, that's for Alan's.
That's Alan's?
Which it should be couldn't be worse if it was Alan's, but that may have been too many characters.
Could be worse.
Couldn't be worse. Yeah. So that's great. And the fun drive starts now, correct me if I'm wrong, June 1st. It's a Monday.
Yeah, 12 days from
Alan
now.
Alan will be here.
You'll be here. I'll be here.
I'll be also here.
You'll be here.
You know you'll be here.
All right, fine. I'll be with you. I got your back.
And you'll be coming in there and you'll be saying, do this and do that.
Really? Like you think I do that?
Yeah.
All I want is chocolate donuts. I don't ask for much, right?
They bring you chocolate donuts. You know, all you can eat, like Abby Oyo. They bring you.
I got news for you.
Chocolate donuts.
The WAMC staff has fallen down on the job as far as chocolate donuts. There is one volunteer. He brings the double chocolate Entenmann's donuts that
we
all share.
A policeman now?
What do you mean? Am I a policeman?
Yeah. Donuts. Coffee.
What, you don't like coffee and donuts?
By chocolate donuts, you mean chocolate, the Entenmann's, donut itself and the glazing has to be chocolate?
Entenmann's chocolate
donuts,
yes.
It's not
donuts,
really a donut,
yes.
It's more like cake.
Cake.
It's like the bagels you get up here. It's not really a bagel. It's just.
Okay, I'm going to read a few more of these.
We have, you have 35 seconds,
okay,
sir.
Here we go.
Please go.
John wants to, Alan.
Thanks, Megan.
You were a Boy Scout? Did you make it to Eagle? No.
No.
I did not, but I had a great time. I loved my Boy Scout experience.
All right.
And then there's people who are, and everything, and I have no time to read it all.
Well, you have 20 seconds. Go ahead. Read another one.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Naming the walkway over the Hudson after Pete Seeger would be a fabulous thing to do. Of course, being the humble man that he was, Pete would not have wanted it, but considering all he's done for the Hudson River and for all of us, there's no man or woman who deserves more. Let's lobby to get the walkway renamed for our beloved Pete Seeger. And our wonderful friend Don says, do you remember seeing Topo Gigio?
Oh, yeah, on Ed on Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan. Sure. No. And
you don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't?
Who was that?
He was cute. He was a little puppet.
Oh, the guy. Oh, yeah, of course. I remember
and
that.
And Bill Dana was the.
Yeah.
And the other guy who said, sort of.
Right. That's was Topo Gigio.
Yeah, see.
All right, we're done. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Libby Post, fabulous as always.
No, thank you.
Judy Patrick, I swear to you, Judy, it's like you had a script. You were just keeping us on message. Well done. Alan.
Not so much.
You were here as
phenomenal.
Well. You're always, you stay at the same high plane all the time, and it's good
just
to
like
have
Clint Eastwood.
That's right.
High plane
drifter.
Yeah.
All right. Take it away, Hopper.